Narine delale, uesu tu hevaline.
This is Mountain News and World Report, WMMT's weekly sojourn into life in Central Appalachia. We now invite you to join us for a visit with folks you may or may not know, items of interest to us all, and shining moments in our living history.
Hello, and welcome to Mountain News. I'm your host, Tommy Anderson, and in this episode, we're talking about artistic collaborations, as well as the various ways people come to experience the unique culture of southeastern Kentucky. Whitesburg has hosted artists from all over the country and all over the world this month, and as more and more visitors come to eastern Kentucky, some Knott Countyans are developing a visitor center and regional tourism website to welcome folks to our mountains and help them plan their visits. First, we'll hear sounds from earlier this March when a group of international and national musicians and artists visited Whitesburg for a week of musical and cultural exchange through the Mosaic Interactive Project. Then, we visit the Carr Creek Community Center and the old Carr Creek High School for a recent press conference announcing the launch of a regional tourism initiative and visitor center. And last, we bring you a brief interview with Natalia Suluaga, the Great Meadows Foundation's 2019 critic in residence. Suluaga will spend 2 months in Kentucky researching arts in the Commonwealth, and as part of her fellowship, she visited Apple Shop to learn more about the organization's history. First, WMMT's Rachel Geringer brings us a story of cultural and artistic exchange with the Mosaic Interactive Project.
In mid-March, eastern Kentucky became the temporary home to a group of musicians, photographers, sound producers, and artists from across the country and across the world. They were here on tour with the Mosaic Interactive Project, a new initiative of the Brooklyn, New York-based nonprofit Found Sound Nation. Found Sound Nation uses music making to connect people across cultural divides. And after a week at the Pine Mountain Settlement School, they settled into Apple Shop's Boone Building, where they worked day and night to develop an interdisciplinary, cross-cultural performance that premieres at the Big Ears Festival in Knoxville, Tennessee, from March 21st through March 23rd, 2019. Elena Moon Park, co-creative director of Found Sound Nation, joined me in the studio to talk about how the Mosaic Interactive Project came together.
This opportunity came across from Doris Duke's Building Bridges program, and they are interested in strengthening relationships between artists and people from the Islamic world and the U.S. And so we used the opportunity to build a program that would allow us to work with some of the artists that we had met over the years in a deeper way and dive into their musical and cultural traditions even more. And we have so many musicians that we love dearly, but a couple of musicians came to mind from Muslim-majority countries who really, to us, embody a very spiritual kind of connection to the music that they're making. So we reached out to musicians that are here now, who include Mehdi Nasouli, who's a Gnawa master from Morocco. And we reached out to Penny Chandrarini, who is an Indonesian Sinden female vocalist in the gamelan tradition in Indonesia. and Ali Tekbash is this beautiful Kurdish singer. And then we also reached out to Eva Selina, who is a vocalist in the Balkan Eastern European tradition, who lives in Brooklyn, New York. And when we came down to this part of the world, we met Ben Townsend, who's a great fiddle banjo player from West Virginia, and also a musician we'd been wanting to work with for a long time, Zafer Tawil, who is a Palestinian musician living in New York City. So the goal of Mosaic Interactive was we wanted to build work with these incredible artists, and we wanted that work to be inspired by their own interests in their own cultural traditions, and also how that connects to universal kind of human concepts. And that's how we kind of got into the realms of these three themes, which were dreams and memories and rituals.
Eastern Kentucky isn't usually a destination for international touring musicians, so I asked Elena why they chose Central Appalachia as the location for their tour and premiere of this international, multidisciplinary work.
Since 2011, we've been in discussion and knowing about Apple Shop and been really inspired by just the focus on archival work and on storytelling. And I think we found a lot of inspiration for this project from the work that Apple Shop has done. And then also just, I think, broader than just the organization, what we found over the course of these couple of years is that, you know, that's not unique to Apple Shop. It's kind of something that happens in this region a lot, of just like holding on, passing down stories and kind of cultural traditions. I was excited to come here with all these musicians from around the world to learn about that and to take some wisdom and knowledge and inspiration.
Amidst their busy schedule, I had the true pleasure of getting to interview some of the members of the Mosaic team. You might have caught Elena's mention earlier of three themes that will make up their final performance: memories, rituals, and dreams. Brooklyn-based South African musician Kyla Rose Smith describes the focus of the memories portion of the project.
So our portion of the Mosaic Interactive piece is memories. The piece itself is broken up into memories, dreams, and rituals. Ours is the opening piece, which explores the memories of older women in Turkey and in Appalachia. And this piece came about because we were, Eva and myself and another artist who is not with us, Fidel, were working on a separate project in Turkey starting last year, exploring the stories of displaced communities in Turkey through the voices of women and through different singing traditions of those communities. Oral storytelling through song, like the ballad tradition. It's really interesting when you delve into that, how each country has kind of its own form of ballad singing. We're kind of structuring the portion of our piece around women and their memories and the kind of different phases of life that one passes through.
Vermont-based musician Gideon Crevachet adds in a link to Appalachian traditional music.
And one thing we didn't talk about a lot thus far is that we're also pairing a lot of this music with ballads from this region, and I see on the wall this Addie Graham record, and we're not doing an Addie Graham song, but we're doing an Almeida Riddle song and a Sarah Ogan song, and using some field recordings and weaving those into this overarching narrative, and also some field recordings that Kyla and Eva did of women from this area.
Kyla and Gideon are joined in the following song by Brooklyn-based musician Eva Selina and Kurdish musician Ali Tekbash, who lives in Turkey.
Hayran, jaran.
The next group focuses on rituals through a collaboration between West Virginian banjo and fiddle player Ben Townsend and Moroccan musician Mehdi Nassouli.
So we're working on a piece of music or a piece of art that is combining Appalachian and Moroccan traditional music, and we're drawing from a lot of different parts of our traditions and finding places where, because of the melody or because of the rhythm or for different reasons, they have things in common, and working on a few things that we can do together throughout a piece of music. That's what we'll present later. And then we're working on some things that are more individual pieces that we can reorchestrate to fit this kind of overall sound. And the whole piece of work takes place around the theme of this thing that's called a lila. That's a religious ritual, a ceremony from Morocco that Mehdi can tell you more about.
So I'm Mehdi Nassouli. I come from Morocco, and the ritual lila is like Gnawa style. Gnawa music is a kind of shamanic music, like voodoo. And when I met Ben last year in Upstream, Found Sound Nation organized this to meet each other's. And I was visiting West Virginia, this area. He's showing me all that part, and I find a lot of point in common between my Moroccan tradition and Appalachian tradition too. Because Appalachian tradition too, there is some masters to teach new musician. And for me, it's the same transmission of that traditional music. And musically too, we found a lot of tune in common, a lot of point in common between Moroccan and Appalachian music. With Ben, it was musically good, but humanly too, we become like friends. We become too close, and for me, that's the most important thing.
And we've noticed a lot in common. These instruments have a history in common. And, you know, the banjo goes back to parts of his tradition. There's a banjo in the music that he plays, similar instrument. Mm-hmm. And our picking styles are very similar.
We heard some of Ben and Mehdi's live performance at the beginning of this piece. And since Appalachian music is more familiar to most of our listeners than Moroccan music is, I asked Mehdi to describe his instrument and play a little for us.
They play gembri, which is this instrument. It's like fabricated by wood. And camel skin, and the strings are the intestine of goat.
Mm-hmm.
No, the goat, yeah, exactly. So I think this instrument have life inside. Mm. It's like animal being or something.
Could you play just a little,
yeah,
just so we can hear what this instrument sounds like? And what's it called again?
It's called gembri.
Okay.
It's gembri. It's like the grandfather of the bass.
Okay. The last group is focused on dreams, and in this clip, Chris Marionetti, co-creative director and co-founder of Found Sound Nation, describes their focus.
This whole project is a suite of pieces, and the piece that we're working on, that we've been working on, is relates to dreams, and more specifically, dreams of childhood. And so dreams from children and dreams about childhood. And we worked last year with a Palestinian artist, Asma Ghanem, who's not able to be here. And we collected a series of dreams from children from one of the refugee camps, Kalandia refugee camp, and worked with them to kind of like almost materialize those dreams through drawings and through animation, ideas that we animated. And now what we're doing is we're kind of weaving those dream stories, not just from those kids, but from also the musicians, Penny's dreams and some of the other dreams of the musicians, into this sort of dreamlike arc. It's almost like we took the sort of arc of what an evening of dreaming would be, you know, four times that you pass through REM stage of dreaming, and we kind of wove those together with visuals and music, and it's sort of like a dream arc, if you will. Yeah.
Brooklyn-based Palestinian musician Zafer Tawil and Indonesian musician Pini Chandrarini performed a song that will be part of their final performance. Mosaic Interactive will perform their completed work for the first time publicly at the Big Ears Festival in Knoxville, Tennessee, on March 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. To learn more about Mosaic, you can find them online at www.mosaicinteractive.org. That's MOSAIC interactive.org. For WMMT, I'm Rachel Geringer.
In mid-March, the old Carr Creek High School was filled with the smell of biscuits and coffee and the sounds of conversation as folks gathered for a press conference announcing the launch of a regional tourism initiative. WMMT's Sydney Bowles brings us the following story.
Tourism is one of the fastest-growing industries in Kentucky, and last week, the Carr Creek Alumni Association and MACID announced a new initiative designed to bring more people to our region. The new initiative is a website that will help users discover everything our region has to offer, from restaurants to hotels to outdoor adventures. It covers Knott, Harlan, Letcher, Leslie, and Perry counties. The developers of the project are planning to turn the virtual visitor center into a physical one, with a bed and breakfast, a shop, and a heritage center. You're about to hear from Corbett Mullins, a treasurer of the Carr Creek Alumni Association. After that, you'll hear from Malcolm Wilson, a photographer and website designer with MACID, and Glenn Hale, a chairperson of the Carr Creek Alumni Association. They'll introduce us to the new website, easternkentuckytourism.org. Here's Corbett.
The people of Harlan, Letcher, Leslie, and Knott, Perry County, that's the counties that we're focusing on here, they already know the beauty of these mountains. And we know the many, many things that East Kentucky has to offer. This website that we're launching today is going to provide the vehicle to get the word out to the world. And is it our sincere hope that very soon that we'll have a visitor center here, either here or over there in the main building. And that visitor center will direct people to places in this area and to events that's going on in this area. But until that visitor center becomes a reality, this is going to serve as our virtual visitor center, and we'll hopefully accomplish the same thing. on this hill 100 years ago, Miss Olive Marsh and Miss Ruth Weston were persuaded to come here and help the settlement, as he put it, get a going. Okay, that's G-I-T-going, okay? Marion Francis was the guy who went to Caney, over where Alice Lloyd College is, and I think they met with Miss Lloyd some. Anyway, they persuaded these two foreign women to come here, Miss Marsh and Miss Weston. And comparing them to today, they're really pretty much the same mission, same thing going on. Their first chore was to get the word out, is what we're attempting to do here today. And toward that goal, they wrote hundreds of letters, maybe even thousands of letters, I don't know, informing people in the outside world of the needs of this mountain community. And it worked. And then I got to wondering, I said, just imagine what it would have been like for Mrs. Marsh and Miss Marsh and Miss Weston to have had this kind of technology. Imagine the number of hours, the laborious hours of work that this would have saved them had they had it back at that time. But they didn't. And they went about their work and were, like I said, they were very good at it. And in closing, I would just like to honor Miss Marsh and Miss Weston and all those other pioneers, the Francis family and the Johnsons and Combses and all those that lived in this small community of Dirk. I'd like to honor them as we celebrate our 100th anniversary.
The old saying is, it takes a village. You know, we've heard that before, and it's no different here. This all came together, this press conference, and we usually don't launch websites like this through the Mason program. We just sort of do it. But this one is special, and it touches a lot of people. So we tried to concentrate on local businesses, local entrepreneurs, local restaurants, although there are lists of the chain restaurants and things like that on this website. But the people that we're trying to drive tourists to are the mom and pops of Eastern Kentucky who are trying to create this new economy. We're going to launch the website. I'd like to introduce Glenn Hale. Glenn, stand up. Glenn is the chair of the Carr Creek Alumni Association. Glenn, you want to say anything?
I thought that whenever I drafted Corbett, I wouldn't have to say anything.
But, I'm going to go over here, and we're actually going to put this thing live. You're going to see it go live. And I've got it set up such a way that something special is supposed to happen when we go live. Let's hope that happens. We're going to do a countdown, folks. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, blast off! There it is!
You can visit the new tourism website at easternkentuckytourism.org.
Last in this episode of Mountain News, Rachel Geringer sits down with Natalia Suluaga, the Great Meadows Foundation's 2019 Critic in Residence. Suluaga is a critic and curator in Miami who visited Apple Shop this month to learn more about the history of the organization and the Appalachian region.
So my name is Natalia Suluaga, and I'm visiting here from Miami as part of an initiative by the Great Meadows Foundation. I'm the 2019 Critic in Residence. And what that basically means is it's an invitation to come spend 2 months in Kentucky and to visit with artists all over the state. And the initiative, you know, as far as their perspective goes, is that bringing somebody from the outside kind of amplifies the possibility for exchange and for critical discourse specifically. The foundation itself focuses on giving artists grants to travel elsewhere for, they call it professional development, but it's really research development. It's to go experience art elsewhere. And so the idea of someone like me coming from somewhere else to come here is to just basically add to those efforts. So I've been here now just over a month. in Kentucky, and I've made my way over to the Apple Shop, basically. I think it was one of the projects that I wanted to see from the very beginning to try to get a broader understanding of what, you know, cultural landscape may be in this region. And I figured that there was no other place to do that but here, actually. So that's why I'm here.
Cool. And so I don't know if you said this in the beginning, but can you talk about, like, maybe where you're from and your art and practice,
like, why
there?
Would they have picked me? So I'm a critic and researcher and a curator, and all of those three things are not distinct. They are kind of a unified practice. And for the past, I'd say, 5 years, I've been thinking about a couple of different things, primarily about the way in which social, political, and environmental realities put pressures on artistic practices and the kind of institutional forms that emerge in response to that. So not thinking about, like, oh, what, like, you know, what are museum, what are the responsibilities of museums in particular regions or places, but thinking about how two artists together may create a kind of institutional form that responds to their immediate surroundings. And so I've been thinking about, like, well, what kind of art, like, you know, comes out of a place like Miami, for example, where we're thinking about things like climate change and the legacies of racial inequality and all of that. How do those two things intersect?
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes, like, we don't know what people know about the region. Uh-huh. I mean, we do and we don't. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We know about some of the national frames, but I guess I don't know if there's something that you could, that you've noticed or would want to speak to about either the organization or kind of being in the mountains, that, like, coming from Miami is really noticeable and, like, different.
Oh yeah. So this is like I'm gonna zoom out for Great. A second, right?
Yeah.
So in Miami, to give you a little bit of context, we're what would be considered a quote-unquote post-industrial city, right? We don't have a direct connection to understanding, like, labor comes in another form there. And there's a very big focus on real estate development and the way in which we project the city outward, right? Like, advertising of the city in order to project a particular image of it, right? But our primary industry is tourism in many ways. I mean, the Port of Miami kind of moves things, but it's all very abstracted. You don't see boxes moving in a conveyor belt kind of thing. You don't see. So the idea of what moves the city industrially is something that is, I think, abstracted into an idea of Miami being very glitzy and beautiful and luxurious. So it's hard to understand from the outside what that ground is. Mm. So I think something that was very transformative for me, and even in these 2 days, was being able to drive around with Herbie, right, and to see the actual physical infrastructure of the coal industry, for example, or the remnants thereof, and the shifts in the landscape, the shifts in architecture, the shifts in the way in which the land is used. I think being able to see that firsthand makes the idea of, like, you know, all of the stories that we do hear about this. And I think that the stories have become much more common to hear, you know, after 2016 in many ways. But being here and driving through, I think it becomes less abstract. You know, the idea that, like, oh, I understand actually now what, you know, what driving in through, like, a particular company, little community would have been like, right? And what that meant for, like, groups of people to be grouped together in this particular way in proximity, right? And I see where trucks dump off and how rocks and coal get sorted. I actually thought that's something that we don't have. You know, I think in many ways, the idea of labor is a black box process now, right? Where we don't see exactly how things work on the inside. And so driving through and seeing this within the landscape was something that was, I think, not something I expected to be able to do, or that it would be so visible within, like, a physical body proximity.
ضرب الخناجر ودا حكم النازل فيا يمام ويلي.
That's it for this episode of Mountain News. If you'd like to hear this or previous episodes again, You can find them on our website at wmmt.org or find Mountain News as a podcast on SoundCloud and Stitcher. The music you heard at the beginning of this show featured Kyla Rose Smith, Ali Tekbosh, Gideon Crevelshay, and Eva Selena. The song you're hearing now is a lullaby performed by Zafir Tawil. All songs were recorded live in the WMMT studios during the Mosaic Interactive Project's visit to Whitesburg in early March 2019. I've been your host, Tommy Anderson, and from all of us at WMMT, thanks for listening to Real People Radio. ونسلسل في العداء ولا علي رضاني. This has been Mountain News and World Report, a production of WMMT-FM, Mountain Community Public Radio, the non-commercial broadcast service of the world-famous Apple Shop in Whitesburg, Kentucky.